Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We are in day, seven now of the first intensive here in Palm Coast, Florida. Everything's exciting. We've taken an intermission for lunch, and everybody's in the kitchen here learning how to roll nori rolls. And so everybody's having a good time. Today is Memorial Day celebration number 319. Michael will talk about that in a few minutes. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 to talk to Michael. That puts you in queue and lets me know that you want to talk and you're not just sitting there listening. Welcome to the show. Hi, Michael. And we do have a caller.
Oh, awesome. Well, hi, sweetie. It's nice to have everybody on the show. We're delighted to be here to be able to offer support in these awesome tools that were created 2,000 years ago in the ancient Aramaic language and bring them forward in a fresh new way that makes them very workable, and our Memorial Day process, the honoring of Memorial Day and Veterans Day, is accompanied with an invitation, and our invitation to you is that you be part of the team that changed the world. And what we're working toward doing is creating a world where we live as human beings. We live in peace with each other. We live as the active presence of love, this awesome creature that we are, and human beings, they're called. And we define a human being as a holding of a newborn child. You'll know exactly what a human being is when you hold that newborn. And so we're here to support you in functioning out of that newborn energy. If you have any form of hostility or fear, how are we going to end war? How are we going to create a world that works in this seemingly utopian way? Well, here's the game. Here's the plan. And that is, we're going to invite you every day to join us in picking just even one issue that you choose to be responsible for, where you have some form of hostility or fear, and where you step inside and you forgive. You remove your very capacity for that form of hostility or fear, which means you put an end to the blame game. And when the blame game goes away, all of a sudden, there's nobody to blame. There's nobody to make war on. And here's the awesome thing that we find out. You know, Einstein had this genius insight, and he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Hostility and fears comes from and creates optical delusions. So we're here to invite you to bring that change. If you're not sure how that conversation works, on the right-hand side of your website is a link that says download worksheets, and we invite you to download the worksheets that are there. The first 7 links actually will give you the actual worksheet process. It'll give you a written explanation of the process. And then there are, I'm not even sure how many there are now, 5 or 6 different radio shows where we actually walk somebody through the whole process. And so we invite you to tap in, put that to work in your world. And Jeannie, you've got a caller for us. Let's hear from our caller.
Yes, area code 810. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael, Jeannie, it's Adam.
Welcome, sir. How do you be today?
Just got done being at Rex's and doing some breathing, and so I'm feeling pretty open, and I'm also, though, feeling these little, all these little things creeping in, like, and, yeah, trying to be with all that. It's a sunny and beautiful day in Michigan, though, that's for sure.
Cool. Well, it's awesomely beautiful here in Florida. We've got a little bit of a breeze, and probably a 75-degree day, so it's just beautiful blue skies, and we're here on the Intercoastal doing this intensive. And so how can we support you today? What's happening that we can you got a question for us or just something to share? What's happening for you?
I do. I'd like to learn more about getting the stress you need and what that means. Rex is teaching me to engage the Lakma, Kula, and, Ruka Dagucha consciously. And, I was just curious about that title, Getting the Stress You Need.
Okay, good question. Well, first of all, for those who are listening, that mouthful that you just put out there, we could spend hours on Lakma, Ruka Dagucha, Kula. Just a brief explanation so that people don't think we're crazy. The words that, people are new to the show, it's like, what is this? I actually was doing this workshop down in Key West several years ago, and there was a woman who had kind of forced her husband to come to the workshop, and he's sitting there dozing through the workshop. And I talk about Lakma and Kula, and all of a sudden he comes out of his kind of semi-sleep state and his semi-stupor, and he's, what's that guy talking about, a rock band in Kula? He was Cuban. What's he talking about, a rock band in Kula? But Lakma and Kula are Aramaic words, and the Aramaic language, if you're not familiar with it, is the original language of at least six of the world's major religions. And as such, it's a physics language, it's a psychological language, it's a physiological language, it's a genetic language. And so the Aramaic words Lakma and Kula refer to both psychology and how to maintain a human life. As we spoke about when we opened the show, that the idea is to restore human life. We're here to function as this awesome presence of love. So Lakma is the word that was used when you hear Yeshua say in the Greek translations, you must have love for, in the Greeks translated as God, neighbor, and self. In Aramaic, what it says is you must maintain a condition in your mind called Lakma when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, in order to maintain self. So Lakma is actually a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that allows only intentions keyed to love to be used in forming your goals, and it appears to be a gateway for human life to enter. With that gateway closed, there's no human life. We just function out of whatever, is structured into us, whatever hostilities, fears, griefs, pains, what have you. And so Lakma and Kula are these two filters, one over intentions, one over perception. And then maybe you could put your mute button on. It's a little noisy coming through. And then unmute when you want to share something else.
How do I put mute on?
On your phone, I'm not sure. Do you have a mute button? Or maybe Jeannie could?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, if you just hit mute, then if you've got something to say, then I'll be able to hear you. And so Ruka Dagucha speaks of an actual elemental force in us. They're the words that were translated from the ancient Aramaic as being the Holy Spirit. They don't refer to anything to do with the disembodied spirit being. What they refer to is an actual feminine elemental force in us that when we invite it into activity, undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. So you kind of have some brain cells for where we're going with this. And that video, Getting the Stress You Need, it's a 2.5-hour workshop. There is about a 2-hour video. And it looks at the fact that in our culture, we've given stress a bad rap. Stress is the problem. When the truth is that stress is not only necessary to life, it's urgent to life. Without stress, you wouldn't be alive because you wouldn't do a behavior. All behavior is stress-based. We need stress in order to function. And the world, not understanding that, thinks that stress becomes a bad thing when there are negative stresses. When you overload yourself with stresses, then yes, you're in trouble physically, physiologically, you know, energetically. But the way that you create a stress is to create a goal. You know, if I'm sitting in the living room, you know, working on worksheets, and my stomach starts to rumble, my stomach says I need food. Now, if I don't ever set a goal to go and get food, I'll sit there and starve to death. I mean, if I don't ever, then I'll starve to death. When I say, I think it's time for me to eat, I'm going to go and make myself a sprout salad. Now that I've set a goal, my mind will serve up the best data that it's got to show me how to accomplish my goal, how to relieve myself of that stress. So the functioning purpose of the mind is to show you how to alleviate your stress. The functioning purpose of us as human beings is to set stresses that support life. If I were, say, for instance, at sprout salad, if I set the goal to create a sprout salad out of the sprouts that were in the fridge, my mind would motivate me to get up, find my way to the refrigerator, and get out the sprouts and make myself a salad. If the sprouts were still in the sprouter out in the garage, my mind wouldn't show me that I need to go to the refrigerator to get the sprouts out because they're not there. So my mind's going to show me how to go out to the garage and get the sprouts. Or if I don't have such a thing, and let's say, you know, the way she and I travel, I'm in a new town, and I want a sprout salad, and I have no idea where the closest health food store is to get one or where the closest cafe is where they're going to have one, then my mind is going to motivate me to do a different behavior to alleviate my stress. The minute I set the goal to have a sprout salad, my mind set me to work. And so now, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to either get out the phone book, or I'm going to get on the internet, or maybe I'm going to pick up my phone. I just recently got a new Android phone, and I'm going to push the button, and I'm going to say, navigate restaurant sprout salad, and see what comes up. So in each case, my behavior is a result of a stress. It's good stress. I need that stress. And if I create goals that don't serve me, like, for instance, if I have a goal have a sprout salad next Friday, then my mind is going to motivate me to do totally different behaviors. Like, for instance, it might motivate me to go and get the seeds out and start the sprouts because, you know, today's Tuesday, they'll be ready by Friday. It might motivate me to mark my calendar on Thursday night that I'm going to run by the health food store and get some sprouts. Or maybe I custom order them from somebody. It might motivate me to pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, on Friday I want to pick up 2 pounds of this, 1 pound of that, et cetera. So in each case, I'm doing behavior based on a stress. And so that video workshop, Getting the Stress You Need, unfolds, and then it ultimately goes into a worksheet process. There's a worksheet on the website called Mind Goal Management. And that worksheet is a worksheet for developing will, one of the, what we call the five smooth stones, one of the spiritual faculties. And it is with will that we manage our minds. When we don't have a capacity for will, then our minds manage us. And so Mind Goal Management Sheet is a structure for developing and strengthening will. And it shows how to frame goals, how to cancel goals, or talks about canceling goals, and how to manage your mind by managing your goals. So that's what the worksheet is that comes with or comes out of that video. Does that kind of get to your question?
Yes. Yeah, that's really helpful. It's really helpful. I didn't understand it because I had a misconception with stress being the more conventional thought of stress, which is that which, when I'm filled with fear and hostility. So I would really enjoy hearing more about, Rachma, Kuba, and Luka Dugucha to understand that more.
Did you say you did enjoy that or you'd like to have more information?
I did enjoy everything you shared, and I would love to hear more about Rachma Kuba and Rupa Dagucha to understand those filters as well.
I'm having a little difficulty here, and I'm not sure if you're saying that you'd like to hear more about that. Are you still there? I'm not sure if you said you feel like
his
you were complete with that.
His call dropped off, so he's not on the switchboard anymore. But yes, that's what he was saying, is that he enjoyed your explanation and he would like to hear more about the Rock Moon Cuba.
Okay. Well,
and we don't have any other callers or any questions in the chat room, so that's a good place to go.
That's a great question, yes. Awesome. All right. And I don't know if he's we want to give him a minute to tap back in, to phone back in, so
oh,
if he catches
he just
it.
Is. There he is. Hi,
oh,
Adam, you're back.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit more about those filters. And this is actually the opening of the Getting the Stress You Need video. And what we do is we diagram out the human mind and locating it in the head, which it really isn't located in, but we draw a circle on the board of a head, and then in the frontal lobes of the brain, we offer that the information that's stored in the frontal lobes of the brain are our intentions. And intentions, there are a lot of people out there teaching the power of intentions, but the intention itself has absolutely zero power. That's why the ancients who understood this said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Forget them all the good intentions in the world. But if you never elevate an intention to a goal, it will not produce a behavior. Only goals produce behavior. And so intentions are the raw material of goals. And there are three different categories or qualities of intentions available through this frontal lobe set of this frontal part of the brain. And the three categories are those which are key to Kuba or Rakma, which is that filter over intentions that allows you to only use intentions that are key to love in forming your goals. The second filter in that part of the brain is a fear filter. If fear is the active filter, then the only kind of intentions that will be available are those which are negative. And then there's a third filter, and that's fear. And the only quality of intentions available through the fear filter are those which are destructive. That third filter is hostility. So we've got Rakma, fear, hostility. Loving intentions, negative intentions, destructive intentions. Depending on the raw material, you'll create out of that a certain quality of goal. And the goal is either going to be loving, destructive, or negative. Then, having selected a goal and made a commitment to it, which is part of that whole workshop, is the process of doing that, framing and setting goals. Having done that, then once the goal is active in the mind, it becomes the driver for perception. And perception, too, comes through one of three filters. There was a corollary word to Rakma, which is the love filter in the frontal lobes of the brain. And then in the back of the brain where perception is stored, there's a filter that's called Kuba. When Kuba is active, the only quality of perception available to conscious awareness is that which is key to love. Then those two other filters, hostility and fear, come in. If the fear filter is the active filter over perception, then the only quality of perception available will be to show something that is threatening about the object of attention. So let's say you're in a situation where you have someone and you're, you know, I love you, I cherish you, you're so wonderful, and I will love you forever. And all of a sudden they give you the look, and you move into fear, if you're in fear, do you see what you love about that person? No. All of a sudden, what you love about that person can't get into perception. And the third filter, hostility, if that's the active filter, then it will only show you something threatening about that object of attention. So, you know, a 6'6" guy who stands in front of a 5'2" woman and is terrified, shaking in his boots, he could wrap her up in knots and there'd be nothing to it, but he shakes in his boots because he has the fear filter active and sees what is feared in this situation. So when I'm looking through this fear filter, my mind can only produce a reality that's threatening about her. And so I'll tend to perceive threat to myself. And if hostility is the active filter, then the only quality of perception available through that hostility filter is that which is irritating. So if I'm feeling irritated towards someone, it's because I've got the hostility filter set. If I'm feeling threatened, I say, by someone, I have the fear filter set. If I'm feeling loving towards someone, it's because I have Rachma set. And so, and Rachma and Kubba. So in the ancient Aramaic, they understood that the first order of business was you had to keep this filter active in your mind because it's also the gateway for human life to enter. If that gateway is shut off, then there's no human life. We have somebody who's just functioning as an automaton out of whatever information's in brain cells. And what we're looking to do with this work is to empower people to stand in their true spiritual power, their true spiritual being, and to come into the world in a way that they are conscious of what they're setting up for themselves rather than unconscious. And so as you utilize conscious words and they're clear about what you really want to create, your chances of creating them are going to be far, far superior than to what they would be otherwise. So that's kind of a brief sketch of the filters that are available and the goals that drive those filters into activity are loaded when we select them out of available intentions. You want to keep your available intentions high, which keeps your goals high, which keeps your perception on the high path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes really good sense.
Awesome. Well, is Rex there?
I'm not with him right now, but...
Okay. Cool. Well, tell him we said hello.
Sounds good. When the phone call dropped, and you couldn't hear me, it's so easy for me to feel like I'm screwing up big time.
The phone call drops and it's all your fault?
Yeah, exactly. And
you're taking a lot of responsibility there, man, a lot more than you need to.
Well, yeah, exactly. I feel really terrified of doing things wrong and, so.
So my invitation would be that you start doing worksheets around being terrified and being over-responsible, you know? Cell phone drops its signal. What's that reflect on you? But, you know, it sounds like you're taking on personally everything. And we do certainly really stress being responsible here with this work. But responsible doesn't mean I'm to blame for everything that happens in the world. I'm just responsible for what I do and what's going on inside of me. What's happening? You breathing?
Yeah. Remembering to breathe. It's just really been a big thing that's been up. Like yesterday, you know, I wanted to call in, and I've been doing some worksheets around it, but just this terror of just not saying the right things and not doing the right things and missing opportunities and, you know, losing people I love in my life, all that stuff is really up right now, and I need to obviously put pencil to paper even more so and just really process through it. Cause
have you been introduced to the Mind Shifter process yet?
Yeah, Rex has introduced me to that. So
would you be wanting to do a Mind Shifter around that issue?
Oh, absolutely. I would, yeah,
okay.
More than willing.
So how about marking this down? For anybody who doesn't know what a Mind Shifter is, it's one of the tools that we teach for accessing on a deeper level the unconscious dynamics and bringing forward the things that are in need of healing, processing through them. So the way that you use a Mind Shifter, and if this fits for anybody, you might just want to pick up on it and use it, but the way you use a Mind Shifter is you take a piece of paper and you split it down the middle, you draw a line down the middle of the page, and on the left-hand side you write the Mind Shifter, and then on the right-hand side you write everything that comes up in response to it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Any thought, any feeling, any sensation in your body, any avoidance thought, whatever goes on, you just write it, and you just kind of do a free-flow dump of whatever's in your brain around that Mind Shifter. So the Mind Shifter would be, whenever I see myself as screwing up or making a mistake,
okay,
the people around me embrace me and hold me in deeper levels of esteem. What's happening?
I'm having to breathe more deeply to take that in, and I'm like, you know, sort of feeling the emotions that are coming up around that, like, and thinking that that could be true. It's like an intense, wow, could that really be true, that people will love me while I make mistakes?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the first thing you write on the right-hand side of the page. Breathe. And so the idea is to start to look at everything you hold in your mind about making a mistake, meaning that you're going to be punished or rejected. And then as you surface those things, they would be the places where you do your worksheet work or, you know, whatever tool you're going to use to process through that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, nice breathing. That's the way to access that deeper stuff and let it move. That's right on track. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, Michael.
Delighted. Glad to be here for support.
Yes, thank you. And you know, before I go, if I could share a couple of things of interest, just interesting facts I picked up.
Please do.
One is, you know, in the Vedic system, 108 is a very sacred number. And I learned that, you know how the sun and the moon both look the same size from our vantage point on Earth?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's because both of them are exactly 108 times, I believe it's either the circumference or the diameter away from the Earth. And it was
interesting.
Yeah, went into that configuration that life on Earth really started to proliferate. So, and then the other interesting factoid is that, and I know this is a bit of mental masturbation, but, you know, that proverb, if you want to go quick, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I just this morning I was thinking about, there's the two schools of Buddhism. is the Hinayana and the Mahayana. The Hinayana means small vehicle, right? And, you know, one can definitely become enlightened within that system. And the Mahayana means great vehicle. That's where you, you know, take everyone with you, and that's where you get the bodhisattvas. And I'm not sure if I understand this completely, but, you know, bodhisattva is committed to the enlightenment of every being, and waiting mm-hmm. for their full enlightenment until every being comes along with them. So it was an interesting connection with that the African proverb, which is so poignant.
So we support you and hold the space for you to fully 100% show up in your body, in your world, in your mind, in your emotions as the awesome being that you are, and thereby bringing your light into the world.
Thank you.
Now, it's interesting. You go back to the Aramaic. The only thing that changed in the Aramaic was the pronoun. When Yeshua said, "I am the light of the world," then he shifted it into, "You are the light of the world." Only the pronoun is different. You are designed to be the light of the world. That's your function and your job. And when he said, you know, don't hide your light under a bushel basket, that's what most people are doing. They're hiding their true being beneath the hostilities and fears that have been draped on them like clothing through the generations and through the culture and through the insanity of our cultures. And so the work is to take those drapings off until we get back to who we really are and show up as the magnificent creatures we're designed to show up as. So we're acknowledging of you being willing to engage that journey and to move it forward in your own personal life and for every mind, heart, and being on the planet. It's delightful to have you on the team.
Yeah, thank you for so much for the support, and I hope to contribute well to the team.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, we love you, sir. Have a blessed one.
Thank you.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
All right, we have two callers.
Oh, cool.
First one is area code 517. You're on the air.
Hello, everyone. It's Rex.
Hey, Rex, welcome. We were just talking on the other line. Are you guys still at your house?
No, actually, we finished our session, and he had just gotten in the car and driven away, and then I tuned into the program right at 1 o'clock. So, yeah, Adam is on his way back to his, you know, neck of the woods in Michigan here, and I'm just sitting here listening to the program, just blissed out in pure joy and appreciating all the wonderful experiences that I'm having and all the not-so-wonderful experiences I'm having and have had. And I, you know, in listening to Adam speak and then to hear you share again the ideas of Ruka and Rachma and Kuba, and it's just, it's exciting because I want to reiterate to everyone, it's just amazing. As I'm just sitting here listening, I just got this great big smile on my face because it's material I've heard over and over and repeatedly over and over and over again. And then just recently, I must have just become ready and have the eyes to see and the ears to hear to be able to experience a much more personal level of Rachma and Kuba and Ruka. And I've just been really spending a lot of time consciously engaging it. And so and listening to you describe it again, I mean, I just heard we watched the DVD in our you know, the first half of the DVD, Getting the Stress You Need. That's what the group picked for us to watch on Tuesday. And we had 9 people and had a great group, really powerful, really exciting. And we're watching that, and it wasn't obviously the first time I've seen it. And as I'm watching it, I'm just starting to get more information, just keeps getting more and more. And I just want to acknowledge that for you, Michael, and to you, and also for all of us to lighten up on ourselves, you know. And I, I wanted to just, you know, and that's for me, to lighten up on myself, and I've been doing a much better job with that. And what I've observed is it's a lot more fun. You know, life is a lot more fun, you know. So I wanted to express that. And also, one piece that I've been working with and becoming more and more aware of it is how intricate the evidential mind, the evidential brain, can take a spiritual principle and add its own material to it and then twist it into something it's not. And I think we have a tendency to do that when we all have a pattern, or any of us that have a pattern that is regarding struggle, which I think everybody has to some degree. And that idea of struggle, when we're working through our patterns of struggle, the brain will attach itself to the idea of the healing process and will teach us, or try to get us, not teach us, it doesn't teach us anything, but try to get us to be distracted from the true healing process and being in joy of our true beingness, and we'll get caught in the apparent struggle of healing. And I would love to have your rendition on that and speak of that, because I find that that is one of the traps that I think a lot of people get caught in the focus of our healing work. And my experience more all the time is that I'm doing the healing work to experience my true beingness, my pure love. And the expression, the outpicturing of that pure love is joy. And that's the focus of my healing work. And I have noticed that there have been times in the past, and I see it with some of my clients, that we have a tendency to get in, develop a habit of struggling with the healing process rather than allowing the healing process to move us to the next place of joy. So I would love to hear anything you have to share about that. And I'll mute myself here and then listen to your sharing. And then if I have anything else we're interacting with, I'll come back on.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for the acknowledgement on the video. It is a fun workshop. And, of course, we're all building more brain cells every day for understanding. And when I talk in this work about building brain cells, I'm not talking about building new physical structure. I'm talking about storing information within the mind that we have the opportunity then to function out of. And so having new brain cells gives us a new way to look at things, a new way to see. If you go back to Yeshua, he says his teaching is only available to those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And that means not physical eyes and ears, but rather have the brain cells. And so each time you watch one of those videos, you build another set of brain cells, there'll be another level of understanding and another level of the ability to embody that principle. In the meantime, what will happen is that what we identify as the non-being mind, or the replicate mind, is the replicate mind replicates. So if what the replicate mind has been trained into is hostility and fear, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you trained it in its testimony. And as it gave it back to you, pardon me, you convinced yourself that what you saw was true. You did this to yourself. Acknowledge this, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. So this replicate mind has no will or capacity except the will and capacity that we've trained into it. And so if we've trained it to struggle, it'll just struggle right along. If we train it to ease, it'll just do ease. It'll go, oh, okay, we can do it this way. But it will always tend to find a way to take its content, inject it into what our brain is seeing, and have us believe that what we're seeing is either true and or is true and out there. And, of course, the idea of the forgiveness process is to collapse all the lies of the non-being mind. And how do you tell if your mind is lying to you? It's a really, really easy standard. Is your mind producing some form of hostility or fear? Any form of hostility or fear, and by definition, Your mind is using corrupt data, and with its corrupt data, it's tricking you. It's telling you things that aren't true, but they become your truth. And what happens to people once they've got a truth like that is they run around and see how many people they can find who will agree with them, and then point the finger at, you know, those who don't agree as the ones with the problem. And our definition is that if you're feeling some form of pain or turmoil, then you have a problem. You have work to do. Forget trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye and start dealing with the beam in your own. And I think that in our natural state, you know, if you think about holding the newborn child, this awesome presence of love, then you know what human life is and you know what we're designed for. That's the starting point for all of human life. And if you listen to Yeshua, he says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. So it's to bring an abundance of that human life into our experience and expression, an abundance of that awesome presence of love. But if the non-being mind, the replicant mind, has been trained that it takes struggle, it takes difficulty, it takes, you know, you can only do it with hostility, you can only do it if you can intimidate somebody into cooperating and blah, 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 then the replicant mind is running the show. And the replicant mind is not designed to run the show. We're designed to be conscious creators. And conscious creation is an expression of our human beingness. So that'd be some of my thoughts on it. Does that kind of touch the direction you were thinking about going, Rex? And by the way, it looks like, I'm not sure, we haven't talked to John yet, but he'd invited us up to address the Spiritual Unity of Nations conference again. And so I'm...
Oh, exciting.
I haven't talked to him, but I'm hoping that we're actually going to be out west. We'll be out in California by that time, and I'm hoping that maybe we'll be able to work coming back in October to speak at the Sun Conference.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great idea. And yes, definitely addressing it. And again, I just love, you are so consistent with your articulation. And that's what I think we all need, because it helps us navigate. I also speak personally. It helps me navigate through the slippery slopes, so to speak. And I just enjoy it. I enjoy hearing you speak, Michael. I enjoy listening to the program. I enjoy the process of healing that I think we're all embarking on. I'm excited about everything we're doing. And for those of us that are in a lot of pain, still experiencing a fair amount of distortion as to who I really am, but a lot more joy while I have those experiences. And there is a place, and I love to share this, there is a place where the replicant mind or the evidential mind will get enough material about joy, about true divinity, enough repetition, to where it will start reflecting more of that as well. And that's a place where I've observed that, you know, I might get into, and you talk about it in your work with, writing a new story, a new script, and understanding it's still a story, but it's to redirect that part of us, the replicant mind, in a way that would move us into the present moment, or make it easier for us to be present and in our joy and in the true expression of who we are. And so we're all, to various degrees, having difficulty in our lives with different things, and you know, we can compare and such, but for the really getting right down to the nuts and bolts, it's always going to come back to, well, gosh, what are we going to do with it? And I love, you've said it a number of times, I've seen it in a number of different works, Dale said it, if you hold love conscious, if you or I hold love conscious, active, and present, in the moment that we surface an issue, it dissolves.
Yep, that's key.
So thank you. And I know there's another caller, and you've got about 15 minutes, so I just love everybody and everything.
All right, sir. We hold you in a blessing. Thanks for the work you're doing with people. And, you know, I think back to 30 years ago. Well, but no, it's not quite 30. It's 1988. So 24 years ago. Did you have any idea when you came to that 30-day intensive what you were getting yourself into?
Oh, I remember you standing over me. Just standing over me while I'm working on a woman and going through my stuff, you know, and then having the experience after that breathing session, and you having to look at me with your veins in your neck starting to swell, fond memories. No, I had no idea what I was embarking upon, and I feel so incredibly blessed to be a part of the process, Michael, and I truly feel a tremendous amount of love for you and the work that we're doing, and a genuine appreciation. And I am, to coin your phrase, I'm so pleased and so joyous about being on the team and being on, and you being on my team.
Delighted. Well, feelings mutual, Rex. Blessings. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right. So, Jeannie, you've got another caller?
Well, we did, and I'm not sure. I think it might have been Nene. They're gone now, but she said in the chat room that she had a really good work last night, or a really good support group last night, and it was the Spanish group. And tomorrow, Friday, she's going to be doing the English group. And she said last night that she did the 5 smooth stones, and then they did a worksheet, and everybody was able to understand how each step polishes the stones. And she said it was great for her. She explained about the goals, and she said it was interesting for herself that the understanding at a deeper level of the importance of canceling the goal. And she said thank you for the support, and she really felt guided in the lecture last night, and said she would call back in tomorrow. She had family come in. She says, I've got to go. I'll be back tomorrow with more time, and I'll call in. So awesome, Nene. And Tim and David are with us. We're down to about 12 minutes. Michael, I don't know if you're talking, but we can't hear you.
Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hanging out here in Illinois and getting nice feedback from people from the group on Tuesdays. Talked to a couple people already. They're, as we talked about before, thoroughly enjoying the worksheet process and the shifts that are happening. And just doing my own work, and did a nice chunk of releasing yesterday on various things related to lots of change going on in my young life. And so have was really enjoying listening again to the idea of the filters. Rachman Kuba, as Rex was saying, I think it's 7 years now of watching each of your videos at least twice a year. And this last one we did was the understanding or introduction to A Course in Miracles with Advanced Understanding. And just the idea of trying to sit with, without putting words on, trying to sit with how the difference in perception and my inability to perceive things multidimensionally and 100% accurately, and all of the coloring that goes on because of my past experience, even if I just look at my life over the past 57 years, without even including my parents and grandparents, etc., there are so many ways that I distort reality every day, and I catch it more and more the more I'm doing this work. The more I see myself reading something and misreading words or adding words or completely skipping words in a sentence. And that was hitting home when I was listening to that lecture again on Tuesday night, finishing up the whole idea of perception and what an active process it is and how inaccurate my perception is from one moment to the next, and often dependent, so heavily dependent upon my mood at the time, that was the power for me on Tuesday night. And of course it bled right into the worksheet that a woman did and got a huge insight about something that was blocking her. So I was just sitting here today listening to your description of the filters and realizing how powerful the set of those filters is in determining my experience in every moment and every day.
Of course. Yeah, of course, that's your mood. Which filter set is your mood? As you say, it depends so much on the mood. The mood is a product. You know, when they said to Yeshua, well, how do you, you could almost say, put it more specific, how do you know which filter set? He said, look at your fruit. And the mood would be the fruit of which filter set. So if I'm in Rachman Kuba, my mood is loving, it's up, it's alive, it's joy, it's creative. If I'm in fear, then my mood tends to be darker. I tend to see things in a whole different way. And when hostility is active, still a different way again. So it's he laid that whole thing out for us so beautifully. There's another great thought in the Course. No, go ahead. Were you going to say something to that?
No. Go ahead. The great thought from the Course.
Yeah, that really ties in so deeply and sort of brings us round robin with it as far as the filters, as far as Rachman Kuba being set and asking for assistance from this power that was called in Aramaic Ruka Dekutcha. The Course in Miracles speaks about you must understand or recognize the distorting power of the way you want it to be. That once you load a goal into your mind, that goal can make anything look like anything that's inside of you. And the mind will build its hallucinations so as to be so close that there's not a brick out of place. And this reality that's going on in my mind must be what's happening out there, and look what they're doing to me. And it's all based on those goals and why the forgiveness process is so keyed into our goals. And when you recognize that once you load a goal into your mind, it tends to maintain the filter from which it came and so can distort anything. And when we reestablish that Rachman and Kuba setting, then it brings the mind back on track. It makes the mind an accurate reflector of actuality rather than a reflector of its own internal content, pretending to be external. It's just such a fun game.
Yeah, that thing I mentioned from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, Becoming the Craftsman, there's a paragraph in it that says, the earth is a small globe created by thoughts, mine and those of others. I walk among houses, the fields, flowers, and rocks. Even the poison of snakes and the sting of bees are mine. All existence is the measure. Between light and dark, bees and serpents, wind and fire. I love the scorpion, yet I know its poisonous sting. To live in harmony is a beginning. The earth is a small globe created by thoughts, mine and those of others.
Yes, and we get to participate in this whole game. And, of course, one of the things that the non-being mind loves to play in is, yes, it is the product of mine and others, and all the ones I don't like are others. Mine are all perfect. They're awesome. And, of course, the indicator that maybe yours aren't so perfect is that there's some form of hostility or fear in you. And anytime any one of us has an hostile or fearful response to anything, that's our opportunity to clarify perception, to get back on track, with a human life. That's the opportunity to remove what never belonged, and what never belonged in this human system was any form of hostility or fear. It just isn't designed for it. And so we're here to support every mind, heart, and being on the planet in understanding the tools to eradicate hostility or fear. Let's put an end to war and create a world where we actually live as human beings, where we look at each other out of these eyes of love and look into each other's eyes of love and recognize us, ourselves and each other as who we are. Jeannie, you said David was with us?
Yes, he is.
Hey there, David. How do you be, sir?
Well, as you know, Michael, we get to visit here each day with each other, and doing very well. Nice to have all the participants here at the intensive. The food is fabulous. The weather is just incredibly beautiful. Could not have written a better weather to have here. And the participants, the people are doing such fabulous work here. And, the expanding and growing that they're doing is fun to be part of. I'm doing well.
Awesome. Well, Jeannie, do we have any callers? Anything happening in the chat room? We're down to a couple of minutes.
No, nobody has their hand up or saying anything, so everybody's just sitting there listening, and we're down to 3 minutes.
Well, we do have time for another caller if anybody chooses to call in, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Otherwise, we'll just let you know that we are finishing up an intensive. Actually, we'll finish on Saturday morning, and Saturday night we'll begin another 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive here in Palm Coast. There is a possibility we've got a local hotel that we can create some extra space in, so there is a possibility that we could handle a couple more participants if anybody wants to come and play. Otherwise, we'll be off for a couple of weeks, and then we're back to Unity in Jacksonville, Florida. I believe it's the second week in May, and we'll be doing 6 days of free open workshops there. We'll start with the Sunday service, and the flyer is on the website, and we'll be doing 6 days, and then we'll do a one paid workshop we do when we travel, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So that will come up in May, and if anybody's in the Jacksonville area, we'd be delighted. Jeannie, you got something to share?
It's actually the first Sunday in May is when we start, so it's May the 6th through the 12th.
Oh, okay, cool. And I think the 13th is Mother's Day, isn't it?
It is.
So the week before Mother's Day, we'll be at Unity in Jackson. And we'll be doing a few things and then heading back to Heartland to begin our intensive season at Heartland. And you can check on our website, www.whyagain.com, for what our intensive season will look like. If you're ready to take things to another level, come and join us. And we're here to support you in using the tools and learning the tools and teaching the tools and passing them on. If you don't have a support group in your area, you don't have to be an expert at these tools. All you have to do is be committed to learning them. The videos are there. Watching the videos, working with the tools makes for an awesome happening. So we're delighted to be with you. We join you in creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present that internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.